This is Melange à deux, a Vienna podcast. Herzlich willkommen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Melange à deux, Vienna podcast. I'm Frau Batsby, and I'm with...
Herr X.
Hi. Today's episode is going to be about Alma Mahler. It's are you adjusted? Are you
sitting? I am adjusted.
I'm calm. It's been a while because we had Easter break, and then kiddo got a dramatic choleric cough.
The most dramatic cough.
One day of school. He went to one day of school. I sent him with a delicate cough. He came back with consumption.
In 2 weeks, he went to one day of school.
Oh, so he is now at his grandmother's for the weekend. You're off to New York tomorrow.
Yes, I'm jet setting.
Jet setting. I guess we're going to get started slowly. I'm distracted. Sorry, I just got a message. It's not important.
Look at this squirrel.
I'm here. I'm focused. What's up recently? Oh, so we went to Rüdigerhof a few weeks ago.
Oh, love that place.
Friend was in town. It's around the corner. And we found out that Trotsky used to go there.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. And then the architect of the building apparently committed suicide on his father's grave.
Which is the most Viennese way to go.
So Viennese. So dramatic. I love it. Last night we had iftar. That your department organized.
Yeah.
And it was an organization called Food for Thought.
Yeah.
And it's Syrian refugee women who cook and cater.
Oh, but the food was so good.
Some of the best food in the world. It was incredible. So I recommend people in Vienna checking out Food for Thought.
I'm still digesting. It was
so good. I had like four kibbeh. But I do recommend checking out that amazing organization. Really impressive. Really lovely people. And food was great.
Shout out Food for Thought.
Food for Thought. You're going to New York tomorrow.
Yes.
You're excited.
I am very excited.
And you're going to go, what are you doing on Monday?
I'm going to go see the solar eclipse while watching a baseball game.
I'm so jealous.
I mean, you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
An eclipse.
I'm going to be stuck with the dog and child. Think of me as you're enjoying total eclipse
of the heart.
Yeah. All right, so to get started, every message is coming through right now. It's driving me crazy. All right, so we're gonna talk about Alma Mahler. She's been requested by a friend of mine and also my father. He's been very interested in her. I didn't know much about her until I started this research. This is gonna be two parts,
and I thought it's pronounced Alma Mater.
Alma Mater. No, she is a complicated woman. And I think she's kind of with Hedy Lamarr, wrong time, wrong era for this type of person. There is a lot of accusation of anti-Semitism based on some of her journals because she wrote anti-Semitic things. But to be fair, she was married to a couple of Jewish men.
That's what I was thinking. Was it just that she was mad at her husband?
Yeah. No, she was like, oh no, I have black friends. To be fair, different era, different time. Everybody was a little anti-Semitic. Am I right? I'm saying this is a Jewish person if you're new to this podcast. But again, I think as we've learned as time goes on, everyone is complicated. Everybody has a history and a story. And I'm not excusing the problematic thing she wrote, but...
Well, let's see. I have no idea. I'm coming in cold on this one.
So yeah, I think in the first part, I don't talk so much about her anti-Semitism. I think it's in the second one. My sources for the episode is Wikipedia.com, as always, almamahler.at, themahlerfoundation.org, Britannica.com, and the fantastic book called Passionate Spirit, The Life of Alma Mahler by Kate Haste. 100% recommend everybody read that book if they want to know more about her. So I don't go so in depth about everything, but it is a very fantastic book. So are you ready to talk about Alma?
Let's do it.
All right. So Alma Margareta Maria Schindler, not Jewish, was born August 31st, 1879 in Vienna, Austria. Her mother was Anna Sophie and her father was famous landscape painter Emil Jakob Schindler. So initially the couple... Anna Sophie and Emil were very poor because he was an artist. So let's talk a little bit about the father. Quote, famous landscape painter Emil Jakob Schindler and his wife Anna Sophie, she was tutored at home and brought up in the Catholic Church. In 1886, Crown Prince Rudolf found interest in Emil Jakob Schindler's paintings and commissioned Schindler to take a trip with his family to the Adriatic coast to produce landscape paintings. Close quote. This is a little bit about Alma's mother. Quote, shortly after Alma's birth, Anna was suspected of having an affair with the painter Julius Victor Berger. 2 years after Greta's birth, the younger daughter, she was accused of carrying on another affair with Karl Moll, one of her husband's students. Schindler kept a diary in those years, which is preserved in part by the Austrian National Library. Extracts were also published in a book by Moll. In an entry of 15 October 1879, 1.5 months after Alma's birth, Schindler complained that his joy at the birth was tempered by separation from his wife. This was apparently resolved, but in an unpublished manuscript by Alma, called The Shimmering Road, she claims that Berger was Greta's real father. Her younger sister. Many explanations have been proposed as to why the mother never had any more children after with Schindler, because after his death, she ended up marrying somebody else and gave birth to another daughter at the age of 42. So it wasn't like she couldn't stop having kids, but but I think they had a very tumultuous relationship. And
so she was the only or the last?
No, Alma was the oldest daughter.
Okay.
And then there was Greta, and then there was Anna.
Gotcha.
So at this point, the father, Emil, who's this landscape painter, has been invited by Crown Prince Rudolf to paint. And they started to kind of do well. There was another trip planned with Crown Prince Rudolf, but he committed suicide. Which we'll be talking about soon.
Okay.
Yeah, so we've talked about briefly about him before. So that was kind of stopped. The family at this point has now become rather comfortable. And Karl Moll, the student of Emil and a friend, is always around, hanging out with Alma's parents.
Okay.
Foreshadowing. Quote, Schindler adored his daughters and at an early age arranged for piano lessons with Adele Radnitsky-Mandlik, who taught them for several years. They had their debut in 1890, aged 10 and 9. He also made sure they received a full education, which was not common practice at the time, and sent them to a private women's academy after being displeased with the public schools. Close quote. Hashtag girl dad.
Hashtag girl dad.
Hashtag girl dad. So he was, and also I think when it came to artistic families, girls were tutored more than in other families because there was this idea that they could do painting and art.
Oh, okay.
But they weren't going to be successful, but they could be good at it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different time.
It's a very different. This was,
late 1800s.
Okay.
Yeah. So, quote, in 1892, the family also traveled to the North Sea island of Sylt, where Emil died from appendicitis. Oof. So,
hard times.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
They say that his appendicitis was kind of brought on by some nobleman who had this game of throwing water on people. So I guess he got really sick and then it led to appendicitis. I don't know.
What kind of pastimes were they doing back then?
They really loved water play.
Throw water on children?
No, it was the father.
The father.
Yeah. He was thrown water on him.
Yes.
Water was thrown on him, yeah.
So he caught appendicitis?
I don't know. They said that it kind of led to him being sick.
Is this one of those things where like a draft will get you sick to the point where you get appendicitis?
Yeah, pretty much.
So he got water thrown on him.
And then he got appendicitis. And then he died. So this absolutely devastated Alma, who was around 13 at the time. And as soon as the father had died, Karl Moll moved in and married the mother.
The guy who's always hanging around.
Yeah. Uncle Karl, just hanging around.
Wait, who did he throw the water on him?
No. But yeah. He died of appendicitis and a knife wound.
It was actually acid water.
Yeah. So Karl Moll, who was the new stepdaddy, was also a very established painter. Alma hated him and was quite famous at the time. So in a way, it helped launch Alma and her sisters into society. Alma grew up around intellects and artists. So in a way, even with her father's passing, Karl Moll kind of made sure that his stepdaughters had access to the arts and were seen in public and whatnot. Alma also spent most of her days at the piano and started composing, and she was incredibly talented in composing pieces. There was one problem, though. Female composers didn't exist at the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a glass ceiling.
Glass ceiling. As Alma grew up, it became apparent that she was incredibly beautiful. She was taller than average and had red hair, and suitors just started coming to court her.
Taller than average back then, it was like 4'11".
Yeah, yeah. I'd be a hulking beast of a woman at 5'3". And yeah, she was. And it's funny because if you look at pictures, it's not. She looks very attractive, but different beauty standards back then. But she was, yeah, considered. There was no Photoshop and Instagram filters. Thank God those exist now. Practically a Kardashian. Yeah, so suitors are coming to the apartment, always asking for her, but it wasn't until she met Gustav Klimt that something awakened in her.
Whoa.
And he was much older. So let's talk a little bit about Gustav Klimt. It was the turn of the century, and Klimt was a huge deal at that time. He was already very famous. They first met through friends, and there are various accounts about whether they slept together or not, but it was a mercurial union and mostly hidden from society. He was also known as a womanizer, as we did that one.
I'm assuming he was much older than her.
He was much older than her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a teenager. Again, different time. They, for 3 years, it was an off and on relationship, and then eventually they break up. And I think her mom didn't really approve it. Klimt would come and visit her on holiday, but it was, you know, at that time, kind of a Victorian era. She's not supposed to sleep with anybody until she's married. But
so he pulled the mole.
He's yeah, he's like, oh, hey, oh, you're here too? So funny. So with the breakup, Alma couldn't compose music for a while, and she wrote in her diary, quote, and this is where I'm so glad Facebook didn't exist when I was a teenager. So this is what she wrote in her diary, quote, the blood stagnates in my veins. My throbbing passion is spent. Sensibility has given way to pathetic insipidity. Where then can melody be born? Can fire issue from a spent crater? Close quote.
Those sound like lyrics to Alanis Morissette.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Song. Yeah. See, she should have been able to compose and be famous. And yeah.
Because I love that you gave.
Yeah, a lot of angst. So at the same time as this affair with Gustav Klimt is off and on, her mother gets pregnant with Carl Moll. And Alma is despondent. And because she's going through a breakup in a way, kind of a secret breakup. Her mom is pregnant, so she kind of feels like her father's being completely erased. And her father plays a big figure throughout her life because he left died when she was 13, and she was very close to him. So January 1900, turn of the century, she writes, quote, and so we came to the end of a romance that lasted 3 years, and what an ending. Ha! I've lost 3 years of my life, but I shan't despair, for despite the cruel times I went through, Klimt made me happier than anyone else ever will. It was a first great, beautiful love. Amen. Mm. So, despite the...
Smitten.
She was smitten, but it was... You know, she's just kind of a teenager, so...
Wait, but how did it end? Was it his death, or was
no, it... No, so she... She kind of decided to end it. He was with other women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think she just kind of grew up a little bit and was like, this is not going to work out. And funny enough, they actually stayed friends until he passed away from the Spanish flu years later. So they were actually, very close. And he did paint some paintings of her. So every summer, the family, Carl Moll, her mom, and the daughters, would spend summers in Salzkammergut, which is near Salzburg, very beautiful mountainous region. That was when I went hiking one time with a group of Austrians, not aware of Austrians being able to hike.
That, yeah, I have not experienced this myself, but when you tell the story, it's hilarious because even the most out of shape looking person, they know how to hike here.
Chain smoking, drinking a bottle of wine, walking up.
But with pace.
With pace. And we got to what I thought was the top. Everybody stopped for a drink, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I made it. They're like, this is the halfway point. And then they drank like 6 beers and then took off again. Incredible. No, never accept a hike from an Austrian, like, unless you are a marathon athlete. Like, there's no, they're crazy.
So there's no leisurely hikes, like a leisurely stroll.
Well, you've seen how kiddo walks.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, determination. Sometimes his hands behind his back.
It's like he's late for a meeting or something.
Yeah, he just books it. So at this point, her younger sister, Gretel is betrothed. The night before her wedding, she's sobbing to Alma. She also has a loaded pistol to think about using on herself if she decides to not go through the marriage.
What is it with the people?
Suicide. Yeah. It was a very dramatic time.
Very much.
So also at this time, it's a younger sister getting married. Alma's getting a little bit older, but she doesn't seem to be stressed about meeting somebody at this point. So her younger sister, this is quite tragic. She was married to a painter named Wilhelm Legler, and she had a child, but unfortunately she had a lot of mental health issues. And she died in a mental hospital in 1942, murdered by the Nazis. Oof. So, on that note, let's talk about Alma's first husband, Gustav Mahler. So, he's very famous here, and we will definitely do a episode about him. But I thought we'd talk about her first. So, after Klimt, Alma was inundated with proposals. The one romance she had was with her teacher, Zemlinsky. But it was also very hot and cold, and he was a Jewish guy. He had no money, and so her mother was not a big fan of this guy. Then comes along Gustav Mahler. He was a composer and was the conductor of the Vienna Philharmonic. She admired him for a long time. In 1899, Mahler had been appointed director of the court opera. Rumors of him being a playboy swirled, and he was called a degenerate by the upper class. This was also due to the fact he was Jewish, and anti-Semitism continued to be an issue. He had even converted to Catholicism in 1897, but that didn't help much.
Even the conversion?
Even the conversion. No, because he has Jew blood. What are you talking about? and it's crazy because he was an incredibly talented, successful person, but because he was Jewish, people threw, slurs at him.
And considering, for people who are not in Vienna, to be the head of the Philharmonic in Vienna,
you're practically a prophet. That's the highest honor.
Yeah. And so, because I think it's hard to explain it to people who haven't lived here, the importance. We know people who are stopped on the street, for being in the opera. Mm-hmm. And, nobody would be stopped in New York, for being in the opera.
Listen, hey, stupid nerd.
Hey, Pavarotti.
Hey, who do you think you are? The great Caruso?
Shout out Enrico Palazzo.
Palazzo. But no, it's one of those things where, I think even Franz Josef stepped in to get him the position. Because Franz Josef was incredibly progressive when it came to Jewish people. Because Dr. Karl Lueger, I don't know why I call him doctor. I think it's just on the tram. They say Dr. Karl Lueger Platz. Karl Lueger, who was the mayor at the time, was incredibly anti-Semitic. Franz Josef hated this man with a passion. And there's a quote from Franz Josef, I don't want any Jewish hunting going on in my kingdom.
But Franz Josef didn't have the ability to just remove him? Or, he was the emperor.
Yeah, but he kept blocking it. And then I think eventually he's he keeps getting the votes. It's very interesting. And it's interesting that Franz Josef was pretty pro-Jew. So I think I mentioned the Habsburgs were kind of known as being, as of a certain time, I think pretty much from Franz Josef's time, all the Habsburgs were pro-Jew. Yay, Jew! So, let's talk about Gustav and Alma meeting. So, on November 7th, 1901, a friend of Alma's, Bertha Zuckerkandel, invited Alma and
Gustav... Sugar candle?
No, hey, what's sugar candle? Candle. I don't know what that is right now. Oh. But it's not a candle. Kjeldsen is candle. Zucker candle. It's a stripper's name. invited Alma and Gustav over for a dinner. Bertha had specifically chosen certain people for this dinner because apparently Gustav was a difficult guest to have. Gustav Mahler.
How is he difficult?
I think he's a bit of a jerk. I think he's one of those super smart people.
I'm thinking Larry David going into a dinner party.
Yeah, he went. Oh my gosh. I'd love to see a Curb Your Enthusiasm with Gustav Mahler. Alma Mahler. Apparently Alma and Gustav, the first time they met, got into a really heated debate over writings and books, and he was gaga over her because
she has opinions.
Yeah, because he said he thought she was just like a doll, like just a pretty woman just sitting there. And then I guess she got really upset about something he said, and she was citing all these incredible things, and he was like, oh, not just a pretty face. So at this time,
that's what I said when we first met.
Yeah, when I talked about hip hop.
I'm
going to marry this lady. Yeah. It was the first thing I said like that night. I'm like, I'm never getting married again. So at this time, another proposal comes Alma's way, but she turns it down. And then she finally ends the relationship she's having with her piano tutor, Zemlinsky. Mm-hmm. Alma is composing her own music at the time. And when Mahler proposes marriage to her, he tells her there can only be one composer in the relationship. Mm. I think he's talking about himself. And he pretty much writes her and says, I'm the breadwinner. You are not. You're going to be my wife. She does battle with this because she loves to compose. He's 41 at the time and she's only 22. Hmm. So there's a huge difference in power dynamic. He also has some health issues. And finally, she decides that she's going to marry him. Okay. Just before they get married, he has a serious medical issue, but he then recovers. So they get married.
What is this, HIPAA laws? They can't specify what the medical issue is?
I don't think they know what the medical issue was. I mean, he had heart condition and, look, he was a little Jewish man. Okay? He had a lot of afflictions.
This spot that I have on my arm.
Yeah. He didn't fully convert to Catholicism. He's not going to be stoic about his ailments. So they are married 9th of March, 1902 at the Karlskirche, which is where also Hedy Lamarr got married to Fritz Mandl. Mm. And it was a very small private ceremony, which was kind of unusual for the time. Apparently Mahler showed up in just like his normal clothes. He was like, sup. They have like a breakfast afterwards with some friends. They leave for their honeymoon to St. Petersburg that evening. And she's 3 months pregnant. So that's probably why it was a small little ceremony. Because at that time they had to rush the wedding. So on 3rd of November, 1902, she gives birth to a daughter named Maria Anna. Gustav is over the moon about this daughter because he hadn't had, he probably had some kids, but not legal.
Not that he knew of.
Not that he knew of. He also seems to be, at the time, acting a little inappropriately with opera singers. Oh. And Alma's going through postpartum depression, so this is really not great at the time. Gustav continues to have health issues. Alma is also depressed since giving up music. But then they have another daughter in 1904. So
it's working.
Yeah, but she's playing Mrs. Mahler, and kind of throughout this part of their marriage, she feels like she gave up a lot more than she wanted to. So Mahler's star is shining, and in June 1907, he signs a contract to work at the Met in New York City.
Wow.
Yeah. So shortly after signing this contract, which would be in effect in a few months, their oldest daughter, Maria Anna, dies from scarlet fever and diphtheria.
Again, scarlet fever.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
And we found that recently people are still getting scarlet fever.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was still a thing.
As a kid. Yeah. So now they can take care of it. So, but at that time, and it was awful. Like in the book, she had to have a tracheotomy, the little girl. It's really awful. And she passes away and they are devastated. Mm. And they also have another kid, but this oldest one dies. So on 9th of December, a few months after the daughter has passed, they board a train at Westbahnhof and first set off to Paris. And then they sail to New York. They left the other daughter behind.
What?
With Alma's mom. It was a different time.
I mean, this kid is going to just constantly hear, well, you know, your sibling was this. Da-da-da-da. Just leave her.
Well, that's how I always joke. When my brother was born, my parents sent me off for a week to Hamburg. I had a great time. But they're listening to this right now. I hope they feel shame.
So they're heading off. They're on the boat.
They're on their boat. They head off to New York City. So they arrive in New York on December 22nd. 1907, and they are amazed by the city because it is, you know...
Yeah, it's happening.
It's happening. It's a completely different world. And Alma and Gustav are still in mourning over their daughter, and Alma spends actually most of her time in bed as Gustav prepares for his big Met debut. He actually does incredibly well, and the high society of New York loves this guy being here. It's a huge thing. After a couple months, they head back to Vienna in the spring, and then they return in the fall back to New York, but they bring their daughter this time.
Oh.
Thanks, Mom.
Maybe it was a Home Alone situation.
Kevin, yeah. Yeah, could you imagine you forget while you're on the boat? That'd be a very different story. So in 1910, they are back in Europe, and Alma is having a lot of nervous breakdowns, and she is sent to a spa, which was very common for the elite, and a doctor decides to prescribe her with dancing.
Dancing,
jazz hands. He says to her that dancing will really help, you know, probably some serious mental health issues that she has, and he pairs her up with a local architect named Walter Gropius.
Gropius.
Yeah, Gropius.
We had a mole and we have a Gropius.
Could you imagine? I mean, that's a very apt name for somebody who's going to have their hands all over you. I'm going to tell you next time I go to a doctor, be like, yeah, he prescribed dancing. Meet my dance partner, Gropius.
Gropius. That is a made-up name.
So, of course, she is smitten with this architect.
Wow. Well, with a name like Gropius.
Yeah, Gropius. So they start an affair. Initially an emotional one. They send letters back and forth. One day, Gropius accidentally, I'm doing quotes, sends one of his love notes directly to Gustav Mahler. Oops. Apparently, this is actually his MO, because he is known to date older women, married women, and then accidentally send letters to the husbands.
What is he trying to blackmail or?
No, or like, this sounds like a Reddit post. I think he does it either so that the relationship ends or that the husband ends it. I mean, this is how you get people killed. So yeah. I don't know really what his plan was here, but apparently Walter, he's not very good at putting down addresses and names. It's bizarre.
Why are you calling him Walter? It's Gropius.
Gropius, it's with a P. Groper.
Oh, that's even worse.
That's why I kept making the joke.
Oh, Gropius.
Gropius, that's even worse.
Here's Morpheus. What does he do? He morphs. Gropius.
Gropius, yeah. He was the canceled superhero. touching people inappropriately. So, of course, Gustav Mahler discovers, he reads this letter. He's absolutely devastated. He begs Alma to stay with him. And she temporarily ends the affair, but asks for Gropius to wait for her. Gustav is bereft and reaches out to Sigmund Freud. Because he's working at the time.
Yeah, but it's like, what do they just all hang out at some places?
It's almost like there's a cabal. So Freud at the time is actually vacationing in Leiden at the time.
Netherlands, for those who don't know.
Those who don't know.
Listen, wow. This goes out.
This goes out to someone you know. So they end up meeting, Mahler and Freud end up meeting up and they have like a long talk. And it turns out that they talk about Alma's love of her father, ergo her love of Gustav as an older man, and then Mahler's love of his mother that transfers to Freudian concepts, okay? So apparently it was a very helpful conversation. So at this point, Gustav starts to encourage Alma to compose.
Okay.
I think he realizes like...
He's
losing her. The only way to kind of get her to stay in the marriage is that she has free reign to compose. And he starts to actually value her work. He actually realizes that she's an incredible composer. And this is actually the happiest period of their marriage. Their daughter, Anna, is also incredibly imaginative. And she ends up becoming a talented sculptor later. That was your son responding. I got it on the thing. Alma, though, unfortunately continues her affair with Gropius from afar. They're writing letters back and forth. So the couple go back to New York in 1910.
I'm just laughing. Gropius from afar. It's a remote Gropius.
Yeah. Long distance groping. So,
Gropius. They barely knew us.
Early 1911, While they're in New York, Mahler gets gravely ill again. And then by March, they send him back to Europe to see specialists, especially in Vienna. And unfortunately, he passes away 18th of May, 1911. Anna, Alma falls into despair for a couple of months. Despite having the affair, she's devastated. She did very much love Gustav Mahler. But then by July, she kind of emerges back into society. And she doesn't wear mourning clothes because Gustav apparently said he didn't want her to wear mourning clothes. I don't know if he said that or if she was like, yeah, he totally would hate me wearing mourning clothes.
But the thing with Gustav is, well, maybe because we're going to cover him in a later date. You're not going into the specifics of what or was the medical laws back then?
Like, no, he had like a heart condition, and I didn't go into too much detail. I mean, they described his death as very sad.
But it wasn't because there was water thrown on him.
No, this time not. No. He probably drank water. That was probably one of the reasons. I mean, you could die from anything back then. A rusty nail could be a death sentence. So she's kind of back into society. And I think the rule at that time, you were supposed to be at least a year in mourning, but she's very modern. She's a modern lady. She also kind of starts to realize that she was spending most of her married years in the shadow of Gustav, and she kind of is emerging back into society. She's in her early 30s. She's hot. She's rich AF because she's got Gustav Mahler money now. And she immediately starts getting marriage proposals. There's one guy, this scientist, who earlier had been absolutely obsessed with Gustav Mahler. After Mahler dies, he becomes obsessed with Alma. After he dies, he even says he will commit suicide on Gustav's grave if she isn't with him.
What's with the suicide on the graves?
It was very on vogue, okay? He's like declaring his love. He's going completely crazy. So she goes to his wife because he's already married. And she's like, can you help me out? And she actually does. And then he's a really unusual guy because I think she does a little bit of he's a scientist about bugs and whatnot, and she works with him for a little while to kind of learn things about insects. He does, I think, end up committing suicide in Moscow at a later date because a lot of his work had been fictionalized that he had done in science. So I don't know, but really interesting character. So 1 month shy of the 1 year anniversary of Gustav's death, her life goes in a very wrong direction when she meets Oskar Kokoschka. On April 12th, 1912.
We saw advertisements for Kokoschka, yes. Right?
He is a very interesting painter. I will also be doing a podcast about him. At the time, he is 26 years old, blossoming artist. It's an instant love affair. So Alma always had this unique ability to kind of find somebody incredibly talented. She was kind of, a star discoverer. I mean, Mahler was already famous, but she just, instant love affair. He is wildly possessive and she admires his genius, but it's over-consuming and his mother hates her. And Kokoschka is also Jewish, by the way. Apparently, when the affair first started, his mother would stand outside Alma's apartment and pretend to have a gun in her pocket. Jewish mothers, I tell you, we are very protective of our boys.
Is this, I'm picturing like the Godfather.
Right, you know, just like,
outside the hospital.
Pretend you got something in your pocket, So she would kind of, she truly hated Alma. Also because Alma was older, she was a widow, she had one kid at the time, so.
Did she have Enzo the Baker waiting outside also?
So in 1912, her sister Gretel is institutionalized. And when she goes to visit her sister, when she sees her sister's face, she realizes that the sister looks just like one of their family friends from a time when the mom was married to the dad. So the mom, she had fun.
Yeah.
And also, she is very mad because her mom admits that she had an affair and this daughter was the daughter of this man. And because she had mental health issues, Alma was always worried that she would get it too. Mm. But there was no relation because this man had mental health issues. So she kind of was like, all these years I was waiting for myself to have a breakdown, but thanks, Mom. Yeah. At the time, Alma, who is a widow, she discovers she's pregnant with Kokoschka's child. Ooh. The one she's having this love affair with. And she's not married. This is not the right time, day and age. So she goes and has an abortion. He never forgives her for this, but they stay together, and then he gets even more controlling. He makes her cover herself more in public. It's very Sid and Nancy relationship, and she's very tortured by it. Hmm. So apparently there's a movie about their relationship, and it just is horrific, their relationship.
And did she ever, she was still going by Mahler as her surname?
Yeah.
Because a widow, I guess.
Yeah, and it's also, it's like, it's a huge, to be a widow, especially at that time, it's a huge honor in a way. You're protected by society. If she had remarried, but if the fact that she's not married yet and getting pregnant would have been catastrophic. So June 28th, 1914, Sarajevo, war is declared, and Austria is actually looking forward to going to war. They want to win. They just kind of need to win something.
It's been a while.
Patriotism is in full swing. At this time, while she's having the relationship with Kokoschka, she starts writing the architect, Walter Gropius, again. But he's kind of annoyed that she's seeing somebody else like so soon after Mahler had passed. As the draft starts, Kokoschka, the artist, realizes that he should probably volunteer since his friends have, and he knows that he'll probably be drafted anyway. So it's better to join than to be drafted.
Right.
And he doesn't want to be, you know, in war, but he's starting to feel guilty that all his friends are. But he's kind of hemming and hawing, but Alma is so tired of the relationship. She's like, you should go.
You should go.
You should just go. Like, just be a good Austrian, man. Like,
plus, how funny is it that Gropius is like very upset that she settled down so quickly? Like, the moral, he's the moralist in this whole thing.
Well, we will talk about him later on in part two. It's very interesting. Yeah. So Kokoschka signs up, and we'll talk about it in another podcast. But at one point, he's announced dead. And as soon as she hears the news, she goes running to his apartment to get her letters that she had written him, because that would be very scandalous. And then according to Kokoschka, apparently some of his drawings as well, but she never admits to it. he does live barely. And again, I'll talk about it another time, but the poor guy was really like, he was beat up in the war, but he lives. Let's talk quickly about Walter Gropius. So she finally gets back with him after a lot of back and forth. But he's also fighting in the war. At first, he's very hesitant to see her again, but they meet up in Berlin. They have this wild, passionate weekend. She decides that she wants to have children with him. He kind of gets distant again, and you can see in her letters she's so desperate to be with him. She starts even signing them as Alma Gropius.
Mm.
Yeah, you gotta play it cool, lady. Just let him come to you. His mother also hates her. Yep. So,
did she invite her to an Italian restaurant and then she goes to the bathroom, you know?
Yeah.
More Godfather.
More Godfather. No, she, the mom does not like Alma. But Walter finally agrees to be with her. They get married in August 18th, 1915 in Berlin in a secret ceremony. Nobody in Vienna knows at the time about the marriage. They see each other another time. And in February 1916, she's pregnant. And then finally it comes out that she's married to this guy. Some men try to still court her until the pregnancy is obvious. She was supposed to go into labor in September, and Gropius is given 2 weeks off, but the baby doesn't arrive in time. She gives birth after he leaves, but he's able to visit a month later, and he's smitten. They actually name the girl Manon.
Manon?
Manon. Like from The Craft.
Yeah, but how's it spelled?
M-A-N-O-N, Manon, which is his mother's name.
Oh, okay.
But in fact, Alma and his mother actually become very, very close.
By Manon.
So she kind of goes through some illnesses in early 1917. She writes to him, it's World War I and everything sucks. She gets through the illness. And to be fair, he's like in the trenches. So I don't know if he was super sympathetic. So she gets through the illness and she starts to entertain again, because even though it's the war, what people don't really understand during war is that people live their normal lives despite everything. And she describes a lot how they didn't have a lot of food, but they also had a summer house. So she kind of lived all right in Vienna, even if they struggled. So she starts having these like get-togethers with the intelligentsia who are still around in Vienna. And she meets some writers and she ends up meeting a friend of Kafka. And before she meets this guy, she reads a poem by him and thinks it's absolutely incredible. She's so enamored by the poem that she actually puts it to music. The man who wrote it is a man called Franz Werfel. Mm. a Jewish man. They finally meet each other in November 1917. Werfel has just been transferred from the Russian front back to Vienna to work for the propaganda office. He's also a Jewish guy. And when they meet, she starts to wonder if maybe this is her soulmate while she's married to Gropius. So we will stop there for now and get to part two later. But
fascinating, though.
Absolutely fascinating. So at this point, she has two daughters. Another one has passed.
Right.
She was married to Gustav Mahler. He died. She had been having an affair with Gropius. That ends, but then she ends up having an affair with Kokoschka. During her relationship with Kokoschka, she starts writing to Gropius.
Gets married to Gropius. Secret marriage.
But then it's open later on when she's pregnant. And he's like comes back and forth because he's in the war. And he's actually doing very, very well in the war. Mm. And then as she's married to Gropius, very excited that she finally won this guy back, she meets maybe her new soulmate, Franz Werfel.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yeah.
That's quite a life.
Quite a life so far. We're not even halfway through.
Wow.
Yeah. So
let's see. Exciting stuff.
Anything else to add?
No, I just shout out to the mother-in-laws. You know, they were
maybe she's they're no onto good something. For you. It's funny because when reading the book, you're like, oh my gosh, Alma, like just you know, stick to one, but. First of all, I think Oskar Kokoschka was incredibly abusive. I think that was a horrible situation. I think Mahler was much older. He had his dalliances as well. And I think she felt very ignored, always having to play the role of the wife to the genius. Yeah. And the Gropius thing and then meeting Werfel, I'm not so sure that was... I'm trying to find excuses.
Well, Mahler and Werfel?
Werfel, sorry.
They were obviously people like she fell in love with their being geniuses.
And Kokoschka as well.
And Kokoschka. But Gropius?
He's an architect. I think she thought his stuff was nice. I don't know if
he was. Are there any Gropius buildings?
I don't know. I have to look into it. I think he might have been German, but I'll double check. But he's an interesting character as well. He does write in his journal how much he hates Jews at one point. It was on vogue. Committing suicide over graves, being anti-Semitic, having multiple affairs. This is what people
Different
did.
Time.
Different time. So you're going to be gone next week, but we're going to record a bonus episode that will come out next week about the third man, but we're going to record it this afternoon.
Yes.
And then afterwards will be part two in a couple of weeks of Alma Mahler. Please check out Frau Batsby Instagram if you want to see pictures of Alma and other things that I do around the city. Anything else to add before we sign off?
No. Just can't wait for part two.
Part two, yeah.
And also third man.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
It's going to be super fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Ciao for now.
Bye.
Bye.